How the devil are you, everybody? Breaking news from Marley here. If you haven't heard this tune, you must have been living in a cave. It is a beautiful little song. The Marley son has brought it out of the bag. Get it? How the devil are you, everybody? Let's set it up. We know the score. I'm back. The Scarlet Pimpernel of podcasting is back. I never went anywhere, actually. I never went anywhere. Just literally, it's been a roller coaster, as always. You know, as life. This is what we're here to talk. We're here to try and unpick everything, trying to make life manageable, as manageable as we can. You know, and it sort of breaks me in straight away. I'm not even going to be shy here. You know, it is Thursday. You know, this is the 14th, and that would have been what, the 11th of April. I was ready to fucking give up. I literally had had enough. Because of a small incident that had happened at work, and it just spiralled out of fucking control. And this is the difficulty. And also, you know, we talk about neurodivergency a little bit more now than we've ever done before, which is a beautiful thing. And we're sort of recognising now that there is a lot more different mindsets out there. But the way that I deal with certain things, and I'm going to unpick as much as I can, because the reason I've been quiet for the last couple of weeks is I've been engaged in therapy. I've done 3 therapy sessions now. And I've been diagnosed. That's formally been done. I know I've alluded to that a little bit more, which is quite nice. It sort of breaks me into understanding a bit more about myself. Excuse me, I've had a sip of cloudy lemonade. So I'm just trying to get rid of the gaseous fibres that are fucking currently trying to shaft me up the arse by the feel of things. So it's been a roller coaster, but of positivity with a little bit of negativity, and also trying to understand myself, it's not just about neurodivergency, it's also about, you know, we're talking here about mental health, we're talking about, you know, men's mental health, and I don't really see there's much of a difference in crossover in terms of depression, stress, anxiety, these things that come into play quite a bit often. There is a cross transfer, which is, you know, why we often get a lot of misdiagnosis or a lot of non-diagnosis in a lot of cases, because as I've discovered through the therapy, now I've gone into this next level of therapy, I call it, because the help I'm getting now is honing in on, it's being funded by myself, because I don't want to wait even longer. I want to try and understand myself, and I want to try and understand, first off, how I can integrate into society, understand myself and be self-aware of myself, so that I can sort of manage and navigate life. And if I come into a certain situation and I know how to reflect on it and deal with it, the next time I come round, I want to be better at dealing with it, you know, because there's a few things I've done in the sort of recent years that are now becoming, there's a trend, this is the easiest way to say it, there's a trend in how I deal with things. So I want to understand a little bit more about that. So I've been unpicking all sorts, and like I said, Thursday I was ready to give up. I literally went to work as normal. I had this little tiny I'll break into a little bit more about it, actually, because I was going to sort of start off a bit slow. But what it was, and just to give you a taste of, number one, how I deal with things as somebody who battles the neurodivergency side of things, maybe give you an insight into for awareness, really, because something so trivial, but it's how I deal with things, and it's also how my mindset works. So it's hard for me to undo this. So what happened was, at work, I had I was doing some compliance stuff. I won't bore you with the details, but basically, I'd alluded to the fact that there was an update that I needed to give to my senior teams and go, you know, this is the outline. You know, this is blah blah blah. This is what's wrong. This is, you know, this is what's right. This is what is wrong. This is what we need to talk about so we can get over the line and get it resolved. Now, the way I deal with things is, I've been described as being very direct. I now know that the way that I deal with things very direct is because probably is the autism, basically, side of things. And that's been, even in just 3 sessions with a psychiatrist, is really sort of honed in on just some of those little nuances and the way I deal with things. People think it's direct. It's probably direct to normal society, but to me, it's just black and white. You know, it's like, this hasn't happened. I'm not mentioning names, but this hasn't happened. This hasn't happened. This hasn't happened. This is what should happen, because like, here's where it's written down it should happen. And then I send that up. Now, I don't see a problem with that, because as far as I'm concerned, I'm just highlighting where we failed so we can get it right. obviously, in that process, it means chucking somebody, per se, in inverted rabbit ears, under the bus because somebody hasn't done their fucking job. Now, I don't look at that side of things because I don't look at the people and go, oh, sorry, Dave. And his name's not Dave. Always her name's not Dave. But I'm using the Dave as the example. But I go, Dave, like, you know, yeah, sorry, mate, but you've not updated about this. And then they go, oh, okay, yeah, but I'm going to ignore that email. I go, okay, well, I'm just going to fucking update it then, mate, because if you're going to ignore it, I know it's wrong. Let's get it fucking resolved. Well, it meant that that person, Dave in this situation, didn't do his fucking job. So obviously, indirectly, it's been stopped and gone, oh, this is how James works. What do you mean this is how I work? This is how I should work. This is like, there's a problem. We're going to get it over the fucking line. We're talking about it. But if we don't talk about it right now, that's the way I look at it. If we don't talk about it, it's never going to get resolved, mate. And we're just going to go fucking bumbling through the world. And I'm not going to do that. Let's do it fucking properly. So that's my mindset. Now, again, that may be perceived as quite direct because not a lot of people want to do that. And in this case, in this instance, that's the word I'm looking for. There was quite a few English fucking variations to that word. But in this instance, I obviously indirectly chucked someone under the bus. That sort of kind of got round and it kind of come back to me. And then there was an email basically saying, you know, this is right, this is right. I was like, well, okay, then, well, that's not what I've been told. So I'm just updating on what I've been told. So you need to get that factual. So it was somebody was trying to calm the fucking waters. However, that person took massive offense to it. That person doesn't want to talk to me. Now, this is where the neurodivergency bit kicks in. With the ADHD side of things, I get rejection sensitivity disorder. So I think, oh my God, I don't know what to do. This person doesn't like me now because I've indirectly chucked them under the bus for not doing their job. Okay, I get that. I'm not fucking stupid. But at the same time, I meant it in a good way. It came from a good place. I wasn't trying to be a fucking arsehole. I get nothing out of being an arsehole to this guy. It doesn't make me feel any better. In fact, it makes me feel fucking worse. But I just go, let's just talk about it. If we're communicating and we're open and honest, we'll get resolution. Well, nobody seems to deal like that. That doesn't seem to be the norm of society. Everyone seems to want to just bury their fucking head in the sand until something crops up. And I'm like, no, I'd rather know about it beforehand and get it dealt with. Let's do this together. So, as you can tell, my ethos or the way that I look at life is slightly different to how some other people look at life. And I go looking for challenges as well, which doesn't help because then I look for these problems and go, okay, yeah, research. Yeah. Okay, it comes around to a human hasn't done their bit. Okay then, right. So who's that human? Well, that's Dave. Fucking Dave. Are you all right, mate? You haven't done your fucking work, buddy. You've got no excuse. Okay. All right, mate, well, I'll feed that up. That's where I look at life. And they look at me and go, well, no, don't feed it up. I wanted to write some lies down on a bit of paper. And I go, okay, then. Yeah, but I need to see some evidence then. I haven't got any evidence because, as I told you, it was indirectly lies. But let's just fucking keep it under the water. I'm going to get round to that. Oh, no, mate. No, because I know that it's lies now. So it's got to go. And again, that's the autism side of things because I don't like I don't like things being factually incorrect. I'm like, no, let's just fucking deal with it. So the neurodivergency, this is a bit weird. We often talk about the positives of neurodivergency, don't we? And we often talk about the side where, oh, yeah, but you're crazy on the time. You know, you fucking, like, you want to be the social bug, you know, when you get into a certain situation, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, you'll research everything. You'll know everything. You know, you want to know about it. Yeah, but we don't talk about the negative sides of neurodivergency, such as needing and wanting alone time, or constantly wanting to be in your own space. The stress of having organized chaos, and when you've and this is even worse now. The psychiatrist was like, even to me, we were talking about this to give you a little update. We were talking about like the mess side of things. I said, yeah, but I'm not messy, but I am messy, but I'm messy in a constructive way. And they were like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, I've got like everything. There's loads of things everywhere around the house. There's loads of unfinished projects, but they're all tidy unfinished projects. I've got loads of bits everywhere and I've got like a drawer that's stacked neatly, but it's everywhere. And it's like, there's a space over there for fucking everything. And she's like, yeah, but that's neurodivergency. You've got the messy side of the ADHD, but you've got the construction side of the autism where you want everything to be structured, which is another thing that I have an internal battle with because I've got one structured side saying, no, I don't want to go there because I haven't planned for that. And then I've got another side when he takes over, he goes fucking ADHD man, says, no, let's fucking go balls deep, buddy. Let's just fucking run and jump off this cliff and see what happens. So it's almost like it sounds positive. It sounds like you're a clean person, but you're a clean, messy person. You're crazy, but you like to be structured crazy. You like to organize things, and this is apparent as well. But, you know, my friends have given me feedback that, you know, you're a real fucking host, you know, but you've got to know every detail beforehand. And I'm like, yeah. And then at the same time, and this is alluding into a recent party I've had. So I had a couple of friends over. I had five of us over, actually, and six of us over. And I did a barbecue. It was just a little shindig to get a few of my close friends together. And they beforehand, I was like, right, everybody, it's like £5 for food each. So that was like a big kitty. And I just got a load of chicken, all the jazz. And then, you know, bring a bottle. Everyone's got to be gone by fucking midnight. You know, there's a little bit of play there, but let's be cautious about this. I know, because the early hours of the morning, the beast comes out normally. So sometimes you've got to be cautious at the early hours of the morning. It seems like the moon moves a little bit, and then the alcohol turns from a positive to a negative. So I try to add a little curfew now to things. And it worked out fucking swimmingly. But then about three quarters of the way through the night, the ADHD took over. Everybody had eaten. Everyone was comfortable. Everybody was relaxed. I could see everyone was relaxed. People were integrating with each other because I brought a couple of people together into the group that hadn't met other people in the group. I was basically the conduit, if you like, of pulling everyone together. So I was like, right, here's a place. We'll have good food, good booze. Everyone will get to know each other. And let's start nurturing my friendships, which makes it a little bit easier for me mentally, because I can engage with them as a group. So yes, there was probably a little bit of an element of selfishness behind that, but it came together. And then three quarters of the way through the night, when I realized everybody had settled down, I went and fucking pulled my snake board down. Now please Google snake board from the 90s. And you'll see this crazy contraption that you strap to your feet. There's been modern versions, but nothing's got fucking anything on the snake board. And I strapped myself in, and I'm bearing in mind I am 15 fucking stone, and I am not a fucking small lad, and I am trying to strap a board with wheels, and it's a wiggly board, with wheels, to my feet, drunk. And I fell over, smashed my elbow, which still hurts to this day, and that was a week and a few days ago. And then I proceeded to snake board up a hill, and then my dogs were going fucking mental. People came out the front of the fucking door. My family were like, what the fuck's going on? They see their dad, 40 fucking 3-year-old almost, snakeboarding, big tanky motherfucker, torpedoing up the fucking hill. And then up this hill. And then I come back round again. And this is about 11 o'clock at night. I come back down the road, and I was so exhilarated through the enthusiasm and the adrenaline and the fucking, what was that word I'm looking, serotonin, everything, endorphins, adrenaline, everything was fucking there because I was in a really good place. People were around me, were laughing and joking. I was down the road and I went, I'm so fucking good at this. I've got a fucking hard on right now. That's how fucking good. So you can talk. And this is it's a weird thing of neurodivergency is you can be everything but nobody. And that's the way I describe it. You can be everything, but you can be nobody at the same time. And that's what I can be. I can be everything. And then I can go into this place where, like I do, I just sit on my own and I stare at my fucking screen, or I just literally whatever. I isolate myself because that's what I have to do to give myself recovery period to be able to be that other person. So it's a constant battle. And you look, and there's people out there that will have, and you know, you'll start, I think a lot more of this neurodivergency is being spoken about now, so we understand a little bit more about it. But you'll see a lot of people that have been diagnosed with ADHD. It's weird. I don't call it ADHD. I call it ADH, and that's something that the psychiatrist has tried to tell me to try and incorporate, because when you add disorder on the end, it's not a disorder. It's a mental process. It's a deficiency in producing the natural chemicals that, you know, that usual normal people will say normal in inverted commas, because that's the way to try and, I wouldn't even say you're not normal, but you think of life differently. Please go and Google it as much as you can, because it is a really interesting thing. I mean, I'm learning so much more about it through the professional medium that it's really, really helping me. And then you've got the other structure. So you've got the ADHD. I will say ADHD because it's recognizable, actually. But I don't recognize it as a disorder. And then you've got the autism side of things. And some people get diagnosed with autism. And you think of autism when you think of the autism thing. You think of people that are, you know, highly functioning in terms of brain capacity, really intelligent people, but really, really poor social skills or really poor sort of interaction with people or noise and things like that. So when you add those two together, which is what I have a capacity of, I have the capacity from the autism side of things to want to a drive to learn, a drive to, you know, try and succeed, you know, that complete removal from emotion, everything. So I don't get emotional. I don't read those social cues as much. People just think of it as I don't care. And I'm like, no, I do care. I just don't read it. I just fucking, it's like sometimes I'll say things in a social group and they'll be like, you crossed a fucking line there, James. And I'd be like, okay, mate. Well, I didn't realize there was a fucking line. And how many of my friends can probably relate to that? There's things I've said. I'm like, well, I don't know there's a line. And that's because you don't sometimes read the social cues. But then at the same time, you know, you've got the battle in with the other side of things, the ADHD, which makes you a bit fucking crazy, wants to do wild things. And that just, that constant firing all the time. So it's a battle. And you'll hear about those things and you'll see, and often you would describe people with ADHD as people that are like wild. You know, we see it a lot in children now. And I do think we get quite mixed up. There's a bit of a weird scenario there because I spoke to my dad about this actually, you know, and there's a weird scenario about how we look at people with ADHD because it's not really a known thing to my dad. He's in his 70s. He probably won't really understand it. But he just looked at it as, you know, when you're a child and you're a boy with ADHD, you just look at it as this guy's just, he's just been a challenge. He's just a challenging shit. You know, you're not going to fuck it. We'll just give him a fucking backhand slap, you know, and fucking pull himself together, shouting, grounding, whatever. You don't know how to deal with that. And we still don't know how to deal with that. And a lot of people, you see these kids that run around like fucking wildfire. And one thing I can say is that it's not just boys because my wife does before and after school clubs and she has a girl that's in there with ADHD. She has a couple of girls and they're only sort of young. They're, you know, they're sort of kind of in their early years of primary school. And she said, you wouldn't believe it but you can clearly see, but they're just constantly pushing the boundaries all the time and they've been diagnosed. So we are seeing a lot more of this. And we used to just think it was the shithead kid who just didn't know what, you know, he was just fucking constantly rebellious. A lot of people used to think that about me. They were like, oh yeah, James, he's just a gobby shitbag. That was just because, and now when you look back and reflect, I used to push the boundaries. And I remember telling my English teacher to fuck off. I was like, you know, when she come down the stairs, I'll fuck off, you bitch. Because, and I think I've broken into this story before in a previous podcast, but I pushed those. I was suspended. I was internally suspended. I was nearly expelled for fighting. And when you look at this, I look like a problem child. But when you know me, I'm not a problem child. I think I'm quite a medium sort of average person Joe going through society. But when you look back at my previous record and you look back at the dealings I had with police when I was younger, and you would think I was a, you know, but then I've been career bound since I was 13. I worked as a paperboy right up to 16 where I, you know, went and did an apprenticeship. Then I went from an apprenticeship to joining, you know, and they were all prestigious, working for Alfa Romeo. Then I worked in for Rover at the time it was. Rover and I think it was BMW that was the counterpart for them. So I worked for them, joined the RAF. So I've been structured, but every point in my structure, I've always pushed boundaries. I mean, there was one thing, and I'll give you, and I told my scenario, the reason it's flashed up is because I'm talking quite openly now with my psychiatrist. And I said one of the things was there was a unit we used to be in. It used to be this like a spray booth facility, but it was a drying booth at the time. So if you can imagine what a spray booth facility is, you know what it is, with the filters on each side. We were in there and I was doing graphics. So I was doing like sticker making, the easiest way for you to understand. And there was a noise, there was a constant beep. And it was because the burner kept locking out, the burner to heat the big office. I now reflect back knowing what I know about health and safety as well. And what we were expected to do in the RAF there was highly illegal. The noise zone was well above the limitations, and that was an office space, and we used to work in there. So I fucking now know so much that I'm like, fuck me, that's crazy shit, what you used to get away with. Probably sue the shit out of them, but I won't, because I'm not like that. But yeah, it's the burner kept locking out.
And this is a story. And I went down and I kept resetting the burner. And then one day, and this is no word of a lie, I walked out into the room and I just looked at the fucking screen and it was saying burner lockout. And I just fucking punched it, this LCD screen. And you could full on see it was punched. I was like, and I punched it twice. I was like, fuck you, fuck you. And that was the ADHD now. And you look, because you wouldn't think that a normal serviceman that is like, you know, military trained, military brought up with my family, you know, very structured environment, very middle class, I think you'd want to call it then. We probably, you know, I was in normal education, et cetera, et cetera. You know, wasn't on the benefit side of things. So what I'm saying is not a negative there by any stretch of the imagination. They're there for a reason. However, when you write those things down to a psychiatrist, they can see that you've had like a standard upbringing. So would I be susceptible to a trauma when I'm younger, sort of thing? So when you look at all these little scenarios that I've done, they're so out of the norm for my normal usual pattern or even a pattern of society that you can tell there's something wrong. And I've got all of these fucking stories I was telling my psychiatrist. In fact, when I had my telephone conversation with him and I told him about just the driving incidents where I'd chase that guy for like 48 fucking miles and every time we stopped at a junction, I'd get out and I'd punch the living shit out of his side window to try and break his fucking window. And the psychiatrist was like, wow, you're quite an extreme case. I was like, am I? And then I've had three therapy sessions with him now. And the thing I'm learning about him, or not him, the thing I'm learning about him is how he talks about the certain situations, the scenarios, and how we're able to understand why my mind does what it does and why it does the opposite sometimes, and why we were given a thing where he looked at me and he said, right, I'm going to try and break down those, just that one for instance. He said, what you've got there is now you've got the autism side of things, and this is where the balance comes in of understanding a neurodivergent mind. I've got the autism side of things where this guy had undertook me, put his fucking brakes on and like broke the law. So I was like, that's not wrong. That's not right. That's not how you do that. That's not how you work in society. And then I have the ADHD brain side of me. No, sorry, the autism side where I go like, I'm going to explain to you that you're doing that wrong. And then I've got the ADHD side that goes, I'm going to chase you and I'm going to punch the living shit out your side window until you fucking listen to me. Now, I'm not going to get the window open, beat 7J's shit out of him. I just wanted to fucking shout at him and go, what you did there was fucking wrong. So you can imagine the battle that is going on in my brain is fucking crazy. And that's just, and it's quick reactions as well. Clicking the fingers is how it reacts. It's almost instantaneous that I go, I'm not fucking dealing with this, mate. I have had a fucking tits full of you. Let's fucking go. And it's almost like that, I put four or five different scenarios each session of these things, and it's to the point where they've marked me down as moderate. So they said we normally put you down moderate, but we're putting you down at extreme because you are quite extreme in the lengths I'm willing to go to in terms of like that's the bit they worry about. So the bit that they've tried to get under control is the bit that I want to basically. There's no line. It's like, I'm going to fucking scream and shout at you because you've done something wrong, but I'm going to do it in such an intimidating way. And he said it doesn't help that it comes with my stature. My stature is quite large, 15 stone tattoos, fucking long hair, big beard. And they're going, fucking hell, mate, this guy's coming at me like a fucking rhino, you know? And it's almost like that. But I don't see it as that. I see myself as a little mouse. And then when I'm saying this and explaining it to people, I'm like, you fucking doing, mate? So I scream at them, and then I get the adrenaline calms down, the adrenaline subsides, and I go, ooh, fucking hell. And the easiest way to probably describe it is Jekyll and Hyde. It is like Jekyll and Hyde, and I've been described by many people as Jekyll and Hyde. One minute I can be chilled out to fuck, the next minute I'm like fucking off the chain. I'm like, it's a fucking flashbang. And in fact, if you ever spoke, or we ever sat when something we were doing the other day when we were all come together, we were talking about old stories, and they were saying then I was like a flashbang. I'd be chilled out as fuck. I'd be, you know, flirting away with the girls and chilling out, whatever, you know, used to do on the streets when I was fucking young, dumb and full of cum. I was down and I was just having a good time. I was young and fucking stupid, very flirtatious, very arrogant as well, very self-full of myself. I really was. And again, that's it's weird because even looking back now, and this is something I spoke about literally yesterday, was how I how people used to perceive me as being very flirtatious, very arrogant, very confident. But I'm not like that in real life. Behind closed doors, I have major, major body dysmorphia. I hate my body. I always think I'm fat. I always think there's something wrong with me. So I've got major body dysmorphia. I've got major confidence problems. But you wouldn't see that. And this is this thing where we put this mask on. And it's really, really interesting how the mask can fucking make you look completely and utterly different. Which at the same side, people go, oh yeah, that must be amazing, you can put a mask on. No, because again, we don't look at the negative side of that. When you take that mask off, it's exhausting. So much so that the mask has been, so I've been in this new job, and this is what's probably come to a bit of a head by the end of last week. And I've been in this job for 5 weeks, 6 weeks now. So it's a fairly new job, and I've probably put a mask on every single fucking day because I'm battling with how I want to deal with things. I want to come in confident. I know what I'm doing, and let's get fucking shit sorted. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm new. I don't really know where everybody sits in what structure, who should be doing that. And it's even got to the point where a few people at work have stopped replying to me because they probably don't want to fucking, they don't want to feed the beast. So like, no, we need to calm this guy down because he's going to fucking run off for miles. He's just going to keep going because that's what I do. I just keep finding problems, get it fixed, move on. And that's not, you know, when you've got a 7-year contract, you've got to take things fucking slow. And for me, or even 10-year, 20-year contract, whatever you're trying to do, whatever you're trying to achieve, you've got to take your time. And I can't do that. That's the breaks. And I don't have a set of breaks. The only time I get breaks in my life is when I've socially, mentally and physically exhausted myself and I've done too much. Like this weekend, I've probably done a little bit too much DIY and manual labor for me. I can feel it today. So it's kind of like physically I'm tired, which means I don't sleep right, which means then I'm mentally exhausted. And we go into this whole, and it's a very easy thing to do in terms of it, just not even me. This isn't about me, you know, this isn't just the me show in terms of that can happen in stress, anxiety, it can happen in depression. Depression can, you can have stress at something and you've not removed that stress factor or that stressor that's causing the stress. And you just keep battling and battling and battling. It may be somebody, maybe you've got a problem with someone at work. And you put a mask on every single fucking day and you're spending 6 to 8 hours, whatever your shift may be, with that person. Now, what people don't realize is you might completely and utterly fucking dislike that person. They might completely and utterly dislike you. And the other factor is you might be going into work as a normal person and not looking at the person that may be putting the mask on. So they might be doing this, and then, or you might be doing this, and they might be doing this, and you might be going home, and you might be completely utterly exhausted. You take that mask off, and you go, fuck everybody. And then if you don't manage that, and you don't deal with that, so I tried to deal with that. That's what I tried to do. Straight away, I knew I'd fucked up a little bit, because I'd gone, okay, I've indirectly chucked them under the bus. So I sent an email saying, look, mate, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to step on your toes. You're the SME. I'm really sorry. The fact that I know that I was right is irrelevant. I just wanted to build that relationship. And then what happened was, and Friday morning, I text my mate, actually, because I was feeling fucking shit. I didn't even want to be in work on Friday. And I messaged my bestie, and I was like, buddy, I'm not fucking feeling it, mate. This is fucking bullshit. And he sent me this really, really supportive, positive text message, just basically full on saying, look, mate, you know, you're doing a good job. You can't always satisfy helping everybody else, and you can't always be friends with everybody. You have to, that not everyone's going to like you. And that's the reality. And that sometimes is, I sent him one back straight away saying, mate, I've just reflected on what you said, and that's fucking invaluable. And this is where you nurture the right people about around you, because he had the ability to just come in and ease some of my mental pain. And he was like, mate, just put it down, just get through the day, you know, get to the fucking week. We're on Friday. We'll have a gin tonight. Chill out, blah, blah, blah. Good times, good times, good times. And that helped me massively, because I don't know why, but I was just kind of, and I suppose that's the kind of, you want to be, all of us want to be liked. We don't want to be hated. Some people walk through life not caring if they're hated. I'd relish in that. I think it's a little bit arrogant, actually, to be fair, not wanting people to like you. I think there's a falsity in, and there is a fine line between being false and having people like you because of a certain reason, or, you know, things like that. I think, you know, But at the same time, we don't want to go through life being an absolute fucking arsehole, do we? It's as simple as that. You know, you've got to try and get that balance right. Excuse me while I have a little sip of my cloudy lemonade. My mouth was going a bit dry. It's got some ice in that beauty as well. And anyway, so what it does is it brings me in swiftly into the title, which is, I've got a couple, see, like I said, I've been doing the therapy and I've been kind of like managing things. And it's, like I said, it's been a roller coaster up, down, as life is for most people. In between this last couple of weeks, I've had a couple of good friends round. We've had a blast, a fucking blinder. And, you know, I've given you a little snippet on that. And that's the importance of trying to manage things. And what I mean is the reason I'm telling you this backstory is it blindly leads into it's the little things that help. And what do I mean by the little things that help? Well, what I mean by is, and I talk about this all the time, the little things, having friends, having the right friends around you. Now, they all came round and I had probably one of the best nights I've had in a long time. And it was because everybody was friendly, everybody was fun, they were all here for a good time. You could see that people were just loving the stories, loving the history. There was a friend that I hadn't seen properly or drank with since I was 17. Yes, that was before 18. In fact, I think we started drinking together about fucking 12, 13. But he was one of my besties at school. And we just parted ways at 16. He went off to university. I went off, did my thing. We crossed paths a couple of times to say hello, but never socialized. And I invited him round and I went, mate, fucking come on round, buddy. And he came round and he knew most of the people in the group anyway. And it just brought like 30 years of memories to him and his 30 years to me and everybody else. And we spoke about, a lot of us were in a group when we were together as young'uns, you know, if you like, 13, 14, we grew up together from secondary school. So getting us all together in a little place, and it is literally my little man cave, was absolutely phenomenal. And the endorphin and the positivity that instilled in me lasted probably until about this weekend. So about 2 weeks, just under 2 weeks, I started subsiding and thinking, oh God, when's the next one? Or when am I going to do something? And then I started getting that niggling doubt, etc. And that manifested into, yeah, we go from there. So it came together. And what I mean by the little things is little things like that. And I talk all the time about, you know, making sure you drink plenty of water. And I'm not teaching you to suck eggs here, but, you know, eat healthy. But at the same time, eat unhealthy, but in moderation. It doesn't matter. As long as you, in moderation, you're not overeating all the time. If you want a fucking pizza, have a fucking pizza. It don't matter. Just everything's in moderation. And it's, you know, drink healthy, get out and do a bit of exercise, you know. And I talk about all these little points, and it's all those little things that help. And also nurturing the right people around you, having the right friends around you, having people. And I've seen a couple of statements that have sort of rung the bells inside my mind. And it's the little things like, you know, having people around you that will protect your name in your absence is another big thing for me. And that's when you know you've got good friends. If a friend is willing to protect your name in your absence, that's a friend. And then that just nurtures into a friend for life, you know. And that's where you've got the right people around you. And that's the bit that makes you happy. Yes, we're going to get, the crux of this is, you know, we do have bad days. Everybody has bad days. That's acceptable. Life is going to chuck a lot of challenges at you. Have you got money in the bank? Have you got fuel in the car? Have you got food in the fridge? Have I got running fresh water? You know, are the kids clothed? Am I clothed? Have I got a job? There's loads of things. There's loads of stresses that come through. You know, gas bill, electricity bill, fucking water bill. You know, I found my water bill the other day and you know, I've had to have a challenge at home because we were like £600 in debt on the water. And what I didn't realise was, you know, I'm willy-nilly fucking spraying water around, like fucking feeding my plants, getting them things lush as fuck. And I was like, why is this money like this? Why have we gone through the fucking roof? And they were like, well, you're fucking watering the plants every day, dickhead. And I'm like, oh. So I've had to up a little bit to try and get that down. But again, that's manageable. And, you know, we should have spoke about it sooner. Communication's key. But all of these little things in life, when we do them right, they help. Everything becomes slightly easier. I would never say, and I would be a complete liar if I said that you did these things. If you drink fucking 3 litres of water today, you're going to be, you know, fucking singing, dancing, happy as Larry, bouncing down the road. I don't know who the fuck Larry is. I've said it before, but he's a happy guy. But that's not the reality. What that will mean is, yes, you're looking after your internal health, which means you don't have to worry about pain. You don't have to worry about weight gain. You don't have to worry about dehydration, you know, all of these things, because it's just, I call business as usual. You should just be doing that anyway. The reason we neglect that, in fact, actually, I was chatting to a friend, a very good friend of mine, from school days and now work alongside him, and he said, I hardly ever drink. He's skinny as a beanpole, but he's just got some results back from the doctor that have said to him that he's you know, got potential, one of his kidneys isn't working very well. And he was like, yeah, I drink about 3 or 4 cups of tea a day, that's it. And I'm like, mate, you need to drink more water, you fucking idiot. And he was like, oh, maybe this is the scare I need. I was like, maybe? What do you mean fucking maybe? One of your kidneys is failing, dickhead, potentially. You know, it's what he's saying. I'm like, he's in his 40s. I'm like, mate, you need to drink more fucking water big time. So, yeah, it's little things like that, you know. But it's some people forget those little things. And that's what doesn't help when you have bad days. So if you go into a bad day, stress, depression. And I spoke to some of my friends, they annoy me, actually, in a good way. In a good way. But I am going to say they do annoy me, because you sit there and go, oh, I'm not having a good day. And you're like, well, okay, mate, have you been out for a walk? Have you, you know, and I've said this before, have you drank plenty of water? Do you feel good about yourself? You know, is your skin hydrated, etc.? And then like, no, mate, I've just given up on everything. I'm just swallowing my own self-pity. Oh, okay, then. And I get that, because that happens. I've done it. I do it. I still do it. But don't expect to call out and say, I'm having a shit time, when you've not done the basics. That's where what happens is you feed into, and this is the beauty of the friendship. The person told me that, and I went straight back and said, have you done X, Y, and Z? No, I haven't. Well, go and do that. Right, go and do that, and let's fucking get on the blower, and then we'll go for a walk, and we'll have a fucking chat together. And then we do that. I'll go outside. We'll have a chat on the phone. We'll put the world to rights, and this is something I'm trying to incorporate into my life a bit more. And we'd go for a walk. They'd offload onto me. I'd listen and maybe offload or have a little bit of banter. We'd both be out in the nature. We'd have a bottle of water. Rest guys say, right, take a bottle of water with you, and we'll drink that on the way around. When we come back, will you feel better? And I guarantee 110% they do feel better. I know they do. And it's the same as I have this thing where every single Wednesday I go out to play pool with my dad and my bestie. Every single fucking Wednesday. And we've been doing it now for probably almost a year. I think my dad's been doing it with us for about 3 or 4 months. And it's not about going there, getting pissed up, doing anything. It's just literally about men chewing the fucking fat, having a good time, ripping the shit out of each other, having a pint, playing pool, playing darts for 2.5 hours, and then we go home. Now, I can feel like utter fucking shit on a Monday and a Tuesday. Wednesday, I know that I'm going out and I'm going to see my mates. I'm going to see my dad and my bestie. I'm going to have a good fucking time. And then I'm going to go into Thursday knowing it's Thursday, almost Friday, and I feel good because I've been out on the Wednesday. And then basically going to go from there. And it seems to work. It's worked. It's worked since I've been doing it. It breaks my week up beautifully. And I have a good time, put the world to rights, bit of competitions involved. But that's something that I've instilled, and it's working. And because it's working, it's making me feel better. You can't go through life just expecting things to land on your plate and go, okay, then I'm going to do this. You need to make things work for yourself a little bit. And that's the beauty of when they do work, the little things that help. And that's the importance of it. I'm going to break in actually as well, because what I want to also talk about, because I've got so much to talk about, but I'm trying to manage it as much as I can. But this is something that maybe, I don't know, this is probably a reach out really to see, because of something that my psychiatrist said to me, and something that, I don't know, it's probably been a little bit easier, because what I'm finding is the neurodivergency affecting me more as I got older? This is a question that my psychiatrist asked me, and I said, yes. And he said, well, why do you think that? And I said, I don't know. I said, when I was younger, I suppose it almost felt like, if I was to cast my mind back now, it would almost feel like it was ADHD. You know, it'd almost feel like I always wanted to be the center of attention. I was always, you know, partying. I was always having a good time. Once that subsided, and then I went through this challenge of like finding work, and I just went, I'm going to do this. And then I saw like a career drive that was fucking mental. And I just, this ambition to learn, and I would give myself a goal and I would hit that goal. like the chartered status in IOSH. You know, why, my current job, I wouldn't need that whatsoever. And even my boss said to me, why are you doing that? I said, because I've been doing it 4 years, mate. I'm not going to give up now. I've literally got an interview in a couple of months, and that's me. I've spent 4 years dedicated to becoming a chartered member of IOSH. And that comes with all of my level 6 degree and everything, and I'm currently doing my master's. It's all encompassed. He's like, but why? And I'm like, because that's what I want. That's my goal. That's what are you going to do after that, though? I was like, I don't fucking know. Let me get to this goal and enjoy it, because that's what I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to enjoy those different challenges that I'm giving. And he was, so we were chatting away, and he said, so you've got older. Has it been harder to mask? I said, it is. It's a lot harder as I've become more knowledgeable, I suppose, without sounding too arrogant, but more knowledgeable in sort of like the health and safety world and stuff like that. But it's not just that. It's almost like people. I have a zero tolerance for just the bullshit side of things. I can't deal with it at the moment. Well, I've never really been able to deal with it, but it's just kind of like managing those side of things. There's lots of things, lots of little nuances that I'm not used to that are becoming harder. And then he said to me, well, the reason I ask is because as you get older, what we tend to find with people is they tend to lose that mask, because you tend to not care as much about the smaller things, because you know that you're getting into the next phase of your life. You're becoming a little bit older. You're a little bit more knowledgeable. You have zero tolerance, as it is. A lot of old people get like that. But what we tend to find is, people, because they lose their mask, then start unmasking in terms of the way we deal with situations. And the way I've been talking was, he's like, you just can't deal with people. There's certain people you'll deal with, and there's certain people you won't. And I'm like, mate, it's crazy how I look at people. I go, no, you're a dickhead. You're lying to me. Yeah, fucking spot on. You know, and it's kind of, and it is almost as cutthroat as that, if I'm brutally honest, which makes life really, really hard. And he said to me, so, what's your biggest thing? And I said, well, the biggest thing that I've noticed in the last couple of years that I've really, really struggled with, that something I've never had to deal with, is a thing called what I call closing the loop. And he went, right. And he sort of, it was almost not even a, okay, it was I know what's coming next. And he was like, I said, I just want to constantly close loops. And what I'm finding really, really frustrating, which is why I've had to move on from jobs, is I get frustrated talking about the same problems like month in, month out. And I said, and it got to the point where I was 2 years in and people weren't listening to me, and I was telling them in detailed ways what they were doing wrong, but people weren't listening to me. And I said, and I was never closing that loop. So I've got this drive of promotion to be the person that closes the loop. And he said, that's really interesting. And I went, oh, is it? He said, that's really interesting. But it was, he said, it's because that's the, he said, that's the autism side. The autism side is, you see a process, you know the process, you've learned the process, you've understood the process, and you know how to close the process. The problem with closing the process is, 9 times out of 10 in the human world, the person to close the process is a person. So unless you're that person, you're never going to close that process down. So you're never going to feel satisfied. And I went, that's what I'm struggling with. That's what I'm struggling with there, is everything in my world. He said, I love health and safety because it gives me a new experience every single day, which means not every day is the same, which I really, really like because of the ADHD. I said, but what I'm struggling with is when I find something and I know what the resolution is and they're not giving me the resolution. And I said, and then they ask me for an update on that resolution like a year later. And I go, I fucking told you about this a year ago, mate, and you've not listened to me. And they went, yeah, but we're going to start dealing with it now. And I'm like, no, mate, I dealt with that a year ago. And then you have to deal with it and you go back, and that's the anger. And that's the problem, is I get to the point where I'm like, it got to the point where I was 2.5 years into that role. And then about towards the end of when I started to look to quit, I was like, I got asked a question, and I went, I told you this question. And I pulled up an email from 7 months before. And it was a detailed email to all three people that were asking me the question and saying, we need an answer. I said, I gave you an answer 7 months ago. Here's the email. And all three of them said, oh, it must have been lost. No, it hasn't. Right, so we need something. I'm dealing with something else now. No, we need to concentrate on this. No, but I'm dealing with this. No, we need you to concentrate on this. No. And then I rebelled. Then I went, I'll tell you what, I'm not dealing with that, and I'm not dealing with the thing I'm dealing with now. You can fuck off. So that's the, like, and that's where people don't understand the differences. Some people get to the point where that's my brain goes, I've had enough. So what I did was quit. And I was like, I'm going to go somewhere else. Is it any better? Probably not. In fact, it's not. I don't think it is. I'm not the person that's closing the fucking loops. So it's like, then I go like, right, okay, I need to get promoted again. I don't care how I get it. I'm going to get fucking promoted. And people say to me, well, yeah, but what about the money and all this that comes? I don't care. I want the power, mate, to say, let's close this fucking loop, because it's frustrating the shit out of me. So it's kind of like, and that's the brain. The brain is fucking mental. It's fucking mental. And that's the difference between, I think the new, see, I spoke to a couple of people that said, in fact, I've had a couple of people say, oh, I'm very similar to you. And I go, I don't think you are. And in fact, I don't think you are. You're completely not, mate. You're not the same as me in whatsoever, because of fucking how I deal with things, mate. And I've met people that are like me, and yeah, we're fucking bonkers, mate. And I've even looked at that person. I met somebody, like I say, I'm mentoring someone with ADHD at the moment in work. And she's only just been recently diagnosed. I think she's only 26, I think. She's moved in with a boyfriend. And she reached out and said, you know, I hear you've got ADHD. Can I come and have a chat with you? I was like, yeah. So we had what turned from an hour. We booked half an hour. We ended up speaking for about two. And I was like, you could literally see she was fucking just as she was looking off one way, doing something else with her mind. I was going somewhere else. We'd pull in the conversation. We'd talk a little bit more. We'd have a laugh. We'd understand each other. We were like, oh, have you struggled with alcohol, drugs, all this sort of stuff? And we both was, yep. We really have. We've all struggled with all that, and which hinders your life, because again, that's the ADHD. The challenges of addiction is massively prevalent in ADHD. She suffers from rejection sensitivity disorder, and how she's dealt with it is she's just shut herself away. I was like, you can't do that. So I'm learning so much more about myself and about how other people. And when you meet someone that's like you, it's you can tell. And normally people that are drawn to me are very similar in that sort of way as well. You get a lot of people that I've spoke about this before, that are drawn towards me because of that way. But it's a constant battle. And the problem is one day I can be Mr. Happy, fucking Larry fucking comes in, here he is, Larry's back again. And the next day I can be completely and utterly fucking crazy. It's an unknown entity. Every day is a different day. So, you know, so we were talking about this, and he said, right, so, you know, closing the loop. He said, so what do you do? And I said, well, I don't know. I go home and I try and do something where I can take my mind off of not closing that loop. I said, but I've been sat there before at 8, 9 o'clock at night writing emails to myself to close the loop the next day. I go, how can I close that loop? So I'd be sat in bed at 9 o'clock going, right, and what I need to do is pull this person together, this person together, this person together. I need to talk about this. I need to do that. And I'll map it out and send myself an email at like 9, 10 o'clock at night to my work address. So when I come in the next morning, and there's times where I've looked at that and gone, fuck, are you on? Like, what the fuck are you on here, buddy? And there's other times where I look at it and go, well, you know that process. But to get to those three people is nigh on impossible. Those three people aren't interested. So do you see where that is the bit that you deal with that people don't talk about often? When you mix these up, and you see it, I see it a lot, actually. I see it a lot, ADHD all over TikTok, ADHD and autism all over TikTok, and I see all that sort of side of things. And a lot of people are like, yeah, I've got this. And you're like, yeah, okay, mate. You probably have, and there'll be elements, because at the end of the day, we've all got an element of autism in us, and we've said that. But it's the bit that it hinders your life that is the problem. It is fucking debilitating, and there'll be people in my friendship group that will contest to it. My best friend, in fact, we were chatting about this last Thursday, because I was chatting to my dad. And one thing I will talk about is something I've recently had medical. I've been part of my medical diagnosis is I've got a medicine now. And we were talking about that medicine, and my mate said to me, he said, mate, I've known you 30 odd years, and it took me 30 odd years to understand you. He said, because even a couple of years ago, you know, we had a bit of a fallout. So I was like, why aren't you fucking messaging me back, mate? I was like, for fuck's sake. And he didn't understand that I wanted to be messaged back and have a conversation at that time. He would be like, oh, just, yeah, I saw your message, mate. I left you on red. I'm like, I know you fucking left me on red, mate. And then you fucked off and then didn't talk to me for like 6 hours. I'm like, mate, our fucking friendship's dead. And it was like, it was the reality of that. Because I'm like, I need to feel that connection. And what people don't understand is, and the reason a lot of my friendships failed, and again, I had to be open and honest with my best mate for this. I had to sit him down. And I said, I'll be honest with you, mate. If I don't get an endorphin from you, a dopamine from you, that makes this work, you know, I can chuck the world at you, but if I don't get it back, it's going to subside, mate, to nothingness. And this is where, you know, we had a long chat and he was like, mate, you just, why have you gone off the fucking radio? He used to say to me, you know, spoke to me for weeks. I'd be like, no, you fucking dropped off, mate. You didn't message me back. So I just chinned you off, buddy. And that's the reality. Again, that's not me being an arsehole. That's my neurodivergency side of things. And that's where some people get that connection. I know it's very heavy neurodivergency tonight, but it's because a lot of us deal with this on a daily basis. And I suppose because I'm learning about myself. And like I said, it was one of those things probably a lot of people kind of knew. And I've, some of the people I've spoken to, in fact, it was one of my mates at the new work I'm at now. And he was like, if they asked me, has James got ADHD, and I hadn't seen you for years, I'd be like, fucking 110% from when you were at school, mate. I look now and he said he had a girlfriend that had ADHD and he was like she's literally exactly like you, mate. You fucking doom scrolling to get that dopamine, messaging people to get dopamine, wanting to get dopamine off of people because you're literally trying to harvest it as much as you can. Once you've got your dopamine, you fuck off. You can literally go, nah, I've got what I wanted out of you, mate. I'm fucking done. And that sounds really callous, doesn't it? Sounds really crass, really, really difficult. You're like, you can cast people aside. I'm like, I've got two elements of me because one, again, and I'm going to say the two again, but the autism side of me, once you hurt me, that's it. I'm fucking done. I'm literally, you've hurt me. I've lost everything in you, lost all trust, lost all faith. And the ADHD side of me will look at it and go, because of that part, I'm not getting any dopamine off you. So I'm quite happy to cut you out as well. And you can become ruthless. And I mean fucking ruthless. I can delete people and go, sometimes I'll delete people and go, oh, okay, mate, I want to see if I can get a bit more dopamine out of you because I did like that dopamine when we were friends. And then you forget what they did or what happened, and then you go back, and then you might never get that dopamine back because that person's gone same as me. Fuck off, mate. You deleted me. Blocked me. Fuck off. In fact, I had one of my friends, actually, my bestie's mate, my bestie's brother, Shane, his name is, and I deleted him about 7 times on Facebook and re-added him because I'm like, I really like the guy, but when I put a post up, he doesn't say anything and I want him to comment and say, that's the childish reality of why I've had like 100 to 1,000 friends on Facebook down to like 45, because I literally, when I'd had my major breakdown, my major depression breakdown, I just fucking cast the whole world away and I blamed the whole world. And again, this is mental health. This is the beauty, and a lot of this stuff you can transfer and relate. Like I said to you, it's really, really important that you manage these things. And whether it's even depression, whether it's even like it's talking, being open. It's even now. I just leant back a little bit. I feel relaxed talking. I do, and as much as I enjoy it, it's really hard because again, you're battling dopamine. You're battling trying to get the enthusiasm to do something. Is it easier just to sit in front of your screen and watch the fucking world go by? Yes, it is. However, does that give you a memory? No, it doesn't. What did you get a memory from last time, James? And this is me talking internally now, my inner monologue. Some of us crazy fuckers have it. And I remember sitting there and just going like, yeah, okay, when's the last time I got a bit of dopamine? Or, you know, and you're kind of harvesting things all the time. But it's crazy, this stuff. It's like last night, even just last night, I was, it was about, I think it was about 10 o'clock at night and it was a bit light. In the garden, and I just started going, oh, I'm going to cut this fucking bush back. And I ended up pruning the bush at like 10 o'clock at night because I was like, I'd just gone wayward. I'd just gone, nah, that's where I need to go. That's the fucking place I need to be. So it's imperative that we understand things. And this is the bit where I'm understanding a lot more about myself. This closing the loop, really, kind of knew it was a little bit of autism because just the more that you learn and understand neurodivergency, the more that you're embedded in the networks, which is what I'm starting to be embedded in now because I've started embedding in networks at work and like social side of things. So I can understand how other people, and you read things and you go, oh, fuck yeah, that person. Oh, yeah, that he's doing what? So the more you understand things, the more you understand why we need to do these things. The problem is, society doesn't allow you to be neurodivergent in the easiest way to say it. It does. We're a lot more open to it in the workplace because it does come with a lot of positives. It does come with a lot of drive. Neurodivergency comes with a lot of fucking drive, which is what I get. It comes with a lot of passion. It comes with a lot of commitment. there is a lot of positivities with ADHD and autism. You can look at the negative side of things where, you know, you're distracted from noise, which is a horrible thing to have. I hate going into work now because I've been so used to being at home in the quiet space and nurturing that. When I go into work, it's like fucking crazy. It's like there's 90 million conversations in my head. So I wear noise cancelling headphones at work now. Because it's so fucking noisy. And so that's a negative side to the neurodivergency. And you've got a lot of that bit that you can't deal with. And a lot of people don't accept that in the workplace. I'm very fortunate that I have got that accepted. I do sit in the thing and people just walk over to me and go, "All right, buddy, tap me on the shoulder." And I lift my fucking headphone up and go, "Yeah, what's up?" They accept it because they realise there's a lot more people like that in life. And the more that we're learning and nurturing around it, we're finding there's a lot more people that have it. And it's not a negative. We all have different minds. The problem is, not one thing fits in society. Not everybody. There's not one peg for everybody. You know, it's not the round peg goes in the round hole. It's not like that at all. That round hot peg can go into the square hole and the rectangle hole. It doesn't. This is the beauty of neurodivergency. But the problem is, it comes with a lot of other things, and that's the negative side. Like rejection sensitivity disorder is fucking horrible. To the point where it was debilitating me last Thursday. I had to go to bed. Even when I had the party over here and I had six people, I had a blind time. The next 2 days, I was completely and utterly socially exhausted to the point where I couldn't talk to anyone in my house because I was so talked out, I had to just shut myself away. We don't talk about that side of things. We just go, James was fucking happy as Larry. He was up and down the fucking road on a skateboard, on a snakeboard, living his fucking best life. Yeah, but we don't talk about the aftermath, the massive, massive, massive dopamine rejection that you've had. You know, you've got to the point where your dopamine's been so fucking high, your adrenaline's been high, you've had such a good time that you've crashed. Now, the easiest way to describe that is like a come down off of fucking ecstasy or something like that. And we talk, if you ever, not as much been affiliated with drugs, but if you've heard or dealt with or understood drugs, you would see that there's a massive high. And they talk about chasing the dragon. You're probably an old thing you've heard about from years ago. And it's very much like that. You chase that dragon. You chase the excitement. But it will never be the first fix. You talk a lot of, you hear a lot of heroin addicts that say the first time they take heroin, it's the best feeling in the world. And it probably is. It's earth shattering from what I've heard in descriptions. Never for me. I can't inject myself. I can't fucking do that. But it's earth shattering the way it makes you feel. So you chase that, and it's never ever. You're then just in a comatose state, trying to chase that high. Well, there's no difference between in the neurodivergent world. That's very much what we do, which is why addiction comes into ADHD so strongly. It's because drugs give you a huge dopamine hit, very, very, very quickly. Whereas, which is why when you look at people with ADHD, they don't seem to or don't tend to. They don't tend to react the same way that a normal person would through alcohol, through drugs, because their mind is so deficient of the standard serotonin that you would get from being drunk and then going a bit fucking giggly, then going a bit sleepy. You're chasing it. You're like, "No, this isn't strong enough, mate. I need to really get on it." So you're constantly chasing it because you don't have that. And that's the difference, is you don't have that. So you're constantly chasing it all the time. So it's a minefield out there. It's a minefield. But what we don't talk about is the negative side or the crash bang wallop at the end of it. So if you have a big function, you don't want to talk, but you do want to talk because you kind of want it to happen. I remember I woke up the Sunday morning. I was like, I could literally go and have a party tonight. Mentally, I could not. But I didn't want it to end. I woke up in the morning going, "I want everyone back round again." So we don't talk about the negatives. And this isn't, you know, and this is sometimes a lot of the time, you know, I must highlight this. A lot of the time, that's where the differences between neurodivergency and people chasing that dopamine and depression and stress and anxiety. Depression is a massive killer in a lot of people. And it's because a lot of the times, I mean, I was one of my psychiatrist who said the thing that comes with ADHD is depression. Manic depression, because you're constantly chasing a high. So when you can't get that high, which is why I used to crave massively. I used to massively crave sex. I used to massively crave going out and partying. I used to be a real fucking party animal, real social bug. But because you know, when you don't get that dopamine, when you don't get that hit, that's it. It crashes out, which then you slump into depression. And it's so easy. So a lot of people don't realize that depression is associated with ADHD. It's a huge form. So a lot of people were diagnosing me with depression. Here, have some antidepressants. Here, have this. And that's why I'm on 150 milligrams of fucking antidepressants, the maximum they can go. Has it worked? No, because it's not treating the fucking symptom. The symptom wasn't depression. The symptom wasn't fucking anything to do with that side of things. The symptom was actually neurodivergency. Well, you can't really, you can understand autism, but you can't undo autism. It's mental. You can understand ADHD. You can't undo ADHD. What you can do is what I now take is a tablet. And that tablet is the one that stops the noise. It stops you from, and all it does really is it calms the brain. And it really, again, it's only really it's like a beta blocker. So basically, it's just blocking those receptors that stop you from listening to loads of things and wanting to do loads of things at once. That's numbing the brain, though. And that's the bit I don't like. That's the bit that I'm actually, and I will allude in my next podcast, which I can't wait to bring up, the medicinal side of things, which is something I've learned a lot and dealing with. And it's a real fucking positive. And I mean a massive positive. And I think because I'm allowed now and I have the medicine that I'm actively going to want to talk about it because it's such a positive on my life. But that's a lot of things I don't talk about. So I was diagnosed with depression for years. For years and years, you're depressed. And I'm like, I'm not fucking depressed, though. I want to beat the fucking shit out of someone for doing that thing. But why do you want to beat the shit out of him, James? Well, because he's done that wrong. Oh, why has he done that wrong? And that's when you start learning about yourself. And you're like, actually, it wasn't, I didn't want to beat the shit out of the guy just because he was there and he was being a dick. I was going to beat the shit out of him because he, technically, I'm going to beat the shit out of him, but that's what your mind thinks. I must say that because people get a bit sensitive. But you do, you're in the monologues going, that fucking guy's doing wrong, I'm going to fucking slap him. And then you get this justice thing and you feel like you're the justice giver. And then you've got the ADHD that goes, oh, fucking hell, this guy wants to give some justice. I'm getting a bit fucking fruity, mate. I've got a bit of a semi. I'm fucking ready to throw that. Fuck it, I'm all in, actually. The dopamine's high, the adrenaline's there. Let's fucking go. And that's what happens. And then before you know it, you switch from the fact of you wanted to teach him a lesson because he's done this. You switch to the ADHD and you're going, what are you doing? I don't fucking know, mate, but this is fucking crazy. I'm fucking chucking stools everywhere. So that's the battle you have. And that's the difference of a neurodivergent brain and depression and side of things. And the reason I say that is because it can be massively misdiagnosed, and it was in my case. And a lot of people try to search deeper in their depression as well. I know people that try to search deeper in the depression for it to be more, and I'm like, no, you just need to deal with why you're depressed. Let's deal with that. And I dealt with mine. I dealt with what I thought was depression. I dealt with the car. I had 38 therapy sessions. I was still going through life really unhappy. I'm like, but I don't understand why. Maybe it is because of the driving. And it's not. The reason it's associated with driving is because I want to teach people a lesson, because I want them to understand that you can end up in negativity. You can have a car crash, and I don't want you to have a car crash because it will make you really sad like I was. So it's that kind of justice thing. And the more that you talk to a psychiatrist, the more that you understand about yourself and why you do these things. But you don't know that. And that's taken 6 years of hard work internally and 3 years of dedicated almost every day to myself for the last 3 years. And I've had to do that because of the suicide attempts and everything else that comes along with it. And I've had to do it. And that's where I say to people, I can't help you unless you're willing to help yourself. I will drop anything of mine to help anybody. But if you've got problems and you're not willing to help yourself, I can't help you. You need to unpick your problems. You need to find the root cause of why you're sad. Once you find the root cause of why you're sad and what genuinely, and you're actively working on yourself and you're actively going out and keeping yourself relatively fit, drinking plenty of water, eating healthy, socializing, doing the things that you need to do as a human being. If you're doing all those and you've got to the crux of it, and you've dealt with what you think's the problem, and you've unpicked it with a professional, and then it comes out the other side, which is what I did. I've come out the other side, and still I was like, there's something fucking wrong. And that's what the turning point for me was. I wrote a letter, and I said, and I wrote a 6-page fucking letter of everything that I've done, what has been going through my brain in the last fucking like 6 years. And I was like, this is what I do even further. This is what I do. This is how I do this. And more I'll unpick as I talk to you, because I am trying to be open and honest and show the differences that you can have and what comes along with neurodivergency. There is a hell of a negativity, especially as I didn't really know about myself. And the more I learn, the more I understand. But what you need to do is be able to understand about yourself. So get yourself, go down, get yourself professionally assessed if you think there's something wrong, and work on yourself, develop yourself, nurture the positivity. Put yourselves in those scenarios. I know that I can do that. I can put myself in certain scenarios. I know there's going to be an aftermath of that. And it's dealing with that. And I'm still finding my feet. I'm relatively a fucking noob, if I'm honest. The way I dealt with last week, and it took an interjection from my friend to say, mate, you're not there to make friends with everybody. If you fucking put his fucking toes to the fire because he's not done his job, then you've done your job. And that's all that matters. So you've done the right thing. Yes, okay, you probably did it quite directly, but you've done the right thing. Anyway, I'm going to wrap it up and cap it up there, because I think I bored on... No, hopefully I've not bored you, but I've enjoyed coming back, as I always do, and I say it every time, but it's hard to get the motivation. It was a kick up the arse from my friend that gave it to me. A little shout out, like I say, I've got some very good friends out there around that are really doing some really good work for themselves. In fact, one of my good friends, and the reason I talk about this is one of my good friends, I've spoke to him before, and I said that I would struggle to help him until he helped himself. He started to help himself, and that's my good man, Nevs. He's a very good friend of mine, and you know, we've had a rocky road, you know, but he started to, I'm enjoying his process, I'm enjoying his journey in the background at the moment, listening to him. He came over and listening to a good friend who's actually working on himself. He said, I need to work on myself. I need to do X, Y, and Z. I need to do the bit of exercise. I need to do a bit of mindfulness. I need to look at giving myself goals. And I went, that's all you need to fucking do, buddy. Give yourself goals and work towards those goals. Once you hit the goal, see how you feel. Make the goal a little bit more challenging next time. Whatever you need to do. But I'm enjoying his process. I'm enjoying my good man's Nelster. I'm enjoying his process. He's doing his fitness journey. He's fucking mental. All of these people around me, I'm constantly picking up people around me are good, and I like drawing in good people. And there's just a couple of examples. As everybody in my social circle is really, really doing well, and it's nice. We all, in fact, one of the big things, I think the biggest hard hitting point I'm gonna share with you before I close down, is we're all sat in this room, bearing in mind we're all 40-year-old men, sitting, drinking, listening to good music. We were doing karaoke. We had a fucking right blast in the man cave in the old Clock and Balls, in my little bar. And what we all appreciated at the end of it was we were all sat there chatting and chewing the fat, and we all come up with our own stories of children and... you know, how demanding they are. You know, some of us, in fact, you know, some of us have got more demanding kids, some have got less demanding kids, you know, whatever. But how demanding life has been, and how hard getting a mortgage was, and how paying the bills is hard, etc. And we said, it's really refreshing that after all of these 30 years where we all kind of went and did our own thing, that we were all at the end back in one place chatting like we were, you know, 16, 17 year olds again. And even my mate said, who's 44, who I'd not seen for like 30-odd years, said, I haven't laughed this hard since I hit my 40s. He said, it's been depressing since I hit my 40s, but this is a new lease of life. And that's the importance of friendship. And that's what I'm going to finish on there, the importance of friendship. And knowing that life is tough. It is tough. Genuinely, it is tough. But if you do the right things for yourself, you work on yourself, you nurture the positivity, you nurture the right people around you, you look to continuously improve yourself, you know, looking there, like, can I improve myself there? Can I get a bit of education? Can I go down there? Whatever. Constantly challenging yourself mentally, physically, and emotionally. Life does get better as you get a little bit more mature, a little bit older. You start getting over those woes, and life, you know, it's not going to be easy. I never said it's going to be easy, but it gets better because you've got those little nuances, I call them, those little sort of people around you, little chess players, and you're moving them in and you're having a good fucking time. Ready for checkmate. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to me. I really do appreciate your time. I hope you've enjoyed listening to me, and I hope that you are pushing that positivity in your own life. So as I always say, get in, get on, get out. Don't fuck about, and get your tackle out if you can. Love you all, everybody, and take care.